Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, we are delighted to be on the air as a result of those who stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially in the battle for life and truth. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Mark. He's listening in Anderson, Missouri. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I'd heard a message down the radio about the parable of the mustard seed. And this man described the mustard seed as the true church, and as it grew into the tree, that it became the false church. And I'd never heard it mentioned like that before. I'd always preached it that it, you know, and I'm a pastor, that it, that you can grow into something great where people can, you know, find rest in you. I don't know how you see that, and I was wondering if you could kind of give some insight on that parable, and I'm going to get off here and listen to you.
Thank you. What is going on in the parable is fairly simple. On one hand, it's complex on the other, and I'll explain why in a moment, but the germ of what's going on is Jesus using the smallest of seeds familiar to Palestinian farmers to illustrate that while the kingdom of God began in obscurity, in the end it would fill the earth and it would endure forever. You'd never want to take a parable and try to make it walk on all fours, nor do you want to take a parable and read into the parable a meaning that was not intended by the author, particularly when the author of the parable in view is the crystal Christ himself, the paragon of virtue. And the truth communicated by the parables of Jesus was not evident to all who heard them, both in the immediate context, in other words, in the first century, nor to those who hear them in the 21st century. In fact, the listener has to have spiritual ears, and then they'll have some degree of understanding as to what's going on in the parables. Remember, the mission in the Old Testament was to open the eyes of Israel to the acts of God, and in the same way, the parables in the New Testament open the eyes of those in the first century, and again vicariously today, to truths that lead them to produce the fruit of righteousness. And Jesus takes the parables and he relates them to aspects of the kingdom, speaking of the Father through vivid stories. And through those stories, making it plain that we too are co-consummators in the kingdom. And that's precisely what's going on with the mustard seed. Because here you have just a few disciples at the time of Christ who will eventually become a great multitude, the full complement of God's people from every tongue and nation, from every place on planet Earth. But you also have a strand within the parable that is alluding to a deeper truth, and that is the faith that enters our heart, small when it enters, but eventually as we partake of the means of grace available to us, that small seed takes over our being. So there are rich strands of truth in parables like this, but we must never read into the parables, meanings that the parables were not intended to have. And again, this requires men in the pulpit, teachers in every walk of life, to use discernment skills. How do you use those discernment skills? We learn to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. You partake of the graces of God, and as you do, you are filled or illumined with truths that Christ has communicated in His Word. But we never go beyond what He has communicated. Derek, next in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Derek.
Yes. How you doing, Hank? I'm so grateful for your program. I really enjoy it a lot. Yes, I have a question that has been bothering me for a while now. Yeah, it's all about the end time, right? Because the Bible said this gospel is going to be preached in every corner of the earth. Then comes the end, right? But what I want to understand, how is it going to be like for those that didn't hear the gospel and perish and die? So how are they going to be judged?
Well, the truth of Scripture is always the same, and that is that we are judged according to the light that we have given. And the truth that we embrace as Christians is that while God dwells in obscurity on the one hand, He also dwells in light. In other words, if we search after Jesus Christ, we always will receive the light that is necessary. And I've said this many times on the broadcast, but the quintessential example, I think, comes from Nicodemus. Nicodemus is asking Jesus Christ questions, and in the context, Jesus is telling them that light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The point being, that the problem is never that there's not sufficient light. The problem is that men despise light, and because they despise light, they do not receive further light. As long as we respond to light, we will receive all the light that is required to have fellowship with God. Now, you go to the Old Testament, and there were saints like Abraham that do not have the kind of light, or did not have the kind of light that you do in the present. He saw, as it were, through a glass dimly. Today, we have the requisite knowledge that he did not have, but he was a friend of God because he responded to the light that he had, and he worshiped the coming Christ through types and shadows. Now, Christ has come, and we worship the reality of Christ who has come. And again, we have, as believers, a light that is greater than all other lights, but it is because we've responded to other light. We've responded to the light of creation. We don't take the sun and make it our God, but we recognize that there was a God who created the sun. We also do not dismiss the light that God has placed on the tablet of our consciousness. We respond to it. And thus, when we do, we receive further light. So it's never the absence of light that damns, it's the despising of light that damns. And that's why Paul could say, when he was on Mars Hill, that from one man God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of them. Which is to say that if people respond to the light that they have been given, and that light is voluminous. Just imagine every single day we see God's created handiwork, and then we have that inner knowledge. If we respond to that, then God will reveal Himself. If we reject it, then we reject it because we don't want light. We despise light, as Jesus said to Nicodemus.
Thanks for the explanation. For me, I'm from Africa, right? And so, like, most of our people, they were illiterate. So, like, for me, I grab it, but I was just a little concerned about those with less education, Like, how, you know, how can they really understand there is a goal? How would they really, like, what some of the things that will convince them, you know?
Sure.
Or whatever those are, God did not talk to them.
But God does talk to them. That's the whole point, Derek. I mean, the point is that God does talk to them, and he speaks to them through the still small voice within, as well as the blazing lights above, as I just mentioned. But the other thing that we have to remember is that God, in his grace, sends to those who are open to the light that they have received, he sends in his grace further light. It could be a light that comes from you, Derek. It could be from a missionary. It could be from God's unique, special revelation to someone, as Christ appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. That is not our duty to understand. All we can understand is that God, if we truly trust him, that God will reveal himself to those who pant after him as a deer pants after the water brooks. That we can be certain of. Although we don't have all the answers right now, we can be certain that if people genuinely search after light, God is not going to throw obstacles in their way. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the ministry. Be right back.
The Theology of Illness by Jean-Claude Larcher offers renewed hope by addressing the problem of pain in a profoundly theological framework, seeking the answer to the mystery of illness and suffering through the healing touch of Jesus Christ himself, the physician of our body and soul. To receive a copy of The Theology of Illness for yourself or as a gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. A quick plug for the CRI support team. And notice today as I was personalizing books to people who joined the CRI monthly support team, that many of them did that as a direct result of listening to me on the radio. And I would encourage many more to join that support team. It is the foundation that allows this ministry to reach around the globe. We have had some pretty dreadfully low-income months. And the way that we can overcome these kinds of things is people joining us, standing with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. I do want to mention, though, in fairness, that I've been doing this for almost 30 years. And while sometimes I become alarmed, I have 30 years of history to go on. And I can go back and say that every time we have prayed diligently and we've been faithful in our work, the Lord supplies through someone. And so I believe that this will happen again. Sometimes my faith flags. It should not after all this time, but I am unfortunately a mortal sinner like all others, and sometimes my faith is not all it should be, and I become alarmed and concerned. And I know that this is not an alarm or concern that I want to carry on by myself, and so I share it with you. And if you're one of God's people that has some of the resources of the Lord that you can invest in the ministry, it would be deeply appreciated, but never give to get. Give because you want to invest in the kingdom for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And of course, in both of those places, you can say, I want to join CRI's monthly support team. And when you do, be pleased to personalize my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, equip.org, the quickest way to get the resource and to join the CRI support team. You can also talk directly to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Stanley, listening in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Stanley.
How do you do, sir? Thank you so very much for your show. Sir, I've been reading, like, in certain places in the Bible, and particularly John 14:26, where it talks about the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and the Father said in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I said to you. Sometimes I think I hear God's voice in some things, and I don't always do right. Do you make mistakes? I do. I don't always know what to do. And sometimes when I think I know what He's speaking in my heart, sometimes it's not right. There should be some kind of alarm or something that goes off in me, shouldn't it?
Well, I think so. I think that's right. You know, here's the thing. First of all, in answer to your question, do I make mistakes? Absolutely, I make mistakes. But I would tell you something. The Christian life has never been a life that you lead by yourself. It's not a lone ranger enterprise. You do it within a community of faith. And within the community of faith, there are spiritual counselors. They're like a physical trainer might be when you're exercising physically. And those counselors give you wise counsel. I've also learned that God moves through people and circumstances, including your wife, if you're married. So I'm constantly talking things over with my wife, praying about things with my wife, and as a result of that, both of us yielding ourselves to God and to the body of Christ, we end up getting good counsel that oftentimes after we've made a decision, we're so surprised at how fantastic everything worked out, but then we think, well, this is no happenstance. It is because we have really made this together, a matter of prayer. We have been in our own prayer closets, but we're also in unity with the body of Christ so that we can, again, get good, wise counsel from people who know our circumstances and who care about our lives. So, bottom line, God moves through the body of Christ through people and through circumstances. And when we are being filled with Christ, which means when we are partaking of the graces that God gives for us to partake in so that we might be partakers of the divine nature, when we're in that process, then we are going to hear the voice of the Lord with a whole lot more clarity than when we're off on our own doing it our own way.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And again, wonderful that you brought up John chapter 14, those fantastic words, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." Of course, who is in view there? Jesus says, "I have spoken to you while being present with you." He was speaking to the disciples. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you." So we have the disciples, and they have a legacy and a heritage, which we have in the Word of God, but they passed it on to faithful people who have passed it on right down to this generation. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Patrick next. He's in South Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Hank. I'm new with the Holy Spirit. I know that there's one God, the Creator, Christ, Jesus Christ, the Lord, and then the Spirit that's in me. And I know that the Spirit in me is alive. It's just, I know for a fact.
Is a person.
Yes. Guiding me, and it's wonderful. My whole thought process has changed. My question is, with my past, I know that there is evil believers, there are people that believe in evil. Do they have some type of spirit that they can go to and ask questions like I talk to my Holy Spirit?
Well,
does that make any sense?
Yes, it does, and it's a really good question. And I think that there are two things going on in the world. One is people are becoming more and more ingrained in the kingdom of darkness. On the other side, people are becoming more and more inculcated into the kingdom of light. When you partake of the graces of God, when you have the Holy Spirit within you, and you are in fellowship with a community of believers, and you're partaking of the means of grace, then you are being deified. You are a partaker of the divine nature, to use the biblical language. So you are being filled with Christ. You are being filled with the Spirit. You are being filled with God. Remember, we believe in one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. And whether it is the Father working redemptively within us, or the Son, or the Holy Spirit, we do not know. We know that God is working redemptively within us. But your point in the prologue to the question is well taken. The same thing is true with respect to the Prince of Darkness. As you give yourself over more and more to the deeds of wickedness, you become more and more, as it were, filled with the evil that is the resultant direct consequence of that evil. You got a prince of darkness and you have a prince of light. Now, they're not, you know, like the yin and the yang, or opposite sides of the force, because the prince of darkness is a created being. The prince of light is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence and created Satan. And now, he didn't create Satan as an evil being. He created Satan as an angel of light who fell because he wanted worship for himself rather than to do what he had been created for, and that is to give glory and worship to God.
So I got one more. That makes a lot of sense. And I tell you, I've prayed for Satan. Whether that's right or wrong, I have no idea. But I so recent me being in the Spirit, it's everything. Like Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30, where if you're in the Spirit, from what I understand, everything, good or bad, is made for my benefit.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely true. And I think that the qualification is often missed. You didn't miss it, but a lot of people do. All things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purposes. And you would fall into that category as someone who has submitted his life to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Hank, you're the best. Continue with your race and finish it, my friend.
Thank you. You as well. I'm glad you're growing.
All right.
Nice talking
Thank
to you.
Bye.
Hey, bye. I want to mention that there are a lot of ways in which you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can download CRI's Equip app. And if you do, you can listen live to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can also listen to archived editions of the broadcast. You can read hundreds of well-researched and relevant articles. And you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the Equip app. So if you don't have it, you can take the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Christian Research Journal wherever you go. Again, go to equip.org and download CRI's Equip app. Also, you can subscribe to my daily e-truth. And when you do, a new e-truth to your inbox every single day. So that's a blessing Monday through Friday. We will be right back here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And thank you for those that make this broadcast possible by standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.